Good morning. It's good. We have all men today. That's good because I feel like it's a manly kind of message, maybe. I don't know. Let's see. So today's message is on Isaiah 26:3-4. So actually, today's going to be a kind of day. Please pull it up. We're going to kind of look through it together, and it helps to visualize it. So again, please open up your Bible. We're going to really go through this. Isaiah 26:3-4. And let's read it. So, the steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. I'll read it again. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. Amen. Lord, we just come before you today and we just ask that we humble ourselves. Please open up our minds, open up our hearts, and speak to us. Lord, I pray just bring your revelation, and let it not just be in our mind, but let it be something deeper in our spirit, in our hearts. Let this, your message this morning, really be something that is life-changing, that is life-giving. Lord, we thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm just going to read that again. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. So this verse really spoke to me this week, and I wanted to share with you. And it's only two verses, but you know what I've said before? You know, we spend more time and effort and thinking, our mind share, about chewing on a good piece of steak. And you know, when we chew on a steak, we're like, I want to get all the juices out of this more than steak. I paid, you know, like 800 Hong Kong or something, or 500 Hong Kong for the steak. I usually don't. I usually go to the supermarket, get a $50 steak, and it tastes fine too. Just put some sauce on it, and it tastes all good. But anyway, but we spent so much time getting all the juices out of this thing, right? Chew, chew, chew. Chew, chew, chew. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just, you know, but we need to spend the same amount of care on this bread of God. So these two verses, let's really chew on it. Let's keep the Bibles open. Let's really keep on looking at it and get all the juices out of it. So a few things happened to me this week, and which kind of, you know, broke my peace a little bit. And, you know, these kind of things ease up on you, right? It's not like suddenly one day, it's just boom. It more like throughout the week is, you know, a little bit of pressure, a little bit of pressure, a little bit of pressure. And then finally, it's like you wake up one day and you realize, wow, I'm really feeling not at peace. And it was just one of those kind of weeks. I mean, one thing that happened was, so my mom was going to get vocal cord surgery. And she was very, very anxious about this because it was general anesthesia. I mean, I didn't think it was a big deal, but for her, it was a huge deal. And so I needed to really be holding her hand remotely through the phone a lot through this. We own a property, and the property flooded this week. And so I was getting from my mom these anxious calls about the rain is pouring through, the tenants are going crazy, they're threatening to sue, they're walking out. And they're saying reimburse them for all the damage to their equipment. And one of the equipment is very expensive, telecom equipment. So that was the worst case scenario that we would have to pay. I have no idea how much this thing costs. So that was one thing. And then some other ministry things, and then even there was something just on investment side that I thought that the Lord had maybe supernaturally told me, this is a good investment idea. Dang, you should do this. And I thought, yeah, let me pray more. Yeah, it's true. It probably is. Let me pray more about it, blah, blah, blah. And I kind of did it. And I didn't fully actualize it. And I realized I had missed this really good opportunity because, you know, you saw the prices move, and it was amazing, actually, how much the price moved. And so I was beating myself up over this. I was like, God, you supernaturally told me to do this. And I can't believe I missed it. And I'm such, I guess, kind of like, I felt like a chump, you know? I felt like, how often do these things roll through? And I'm such a perfectionist that, you know, I'm so efficiency-driven that, I know this is hilarious, but, you know, it's like if you have a coupon and I feel like I could have saved $10. I don't know, I probably have some healing issues, but if you could have saved like $50 or $10 and I missed that deal, I feel like, oh, crap. I wasn't as efficient as I should be, and I don't know. So I had this thing, and all these things, it just added up to no peace. And so I was sitting in the office, and I just felt like I couldn't even sit still. I was like, I couldn't focus on anything. It just got to this point, it was like middle of the week, let's say, and I'm just, what is going on? I can't really work. I'm just so lack of peace. I don't know what's going on. So, you know, it's just like you're shadow boxing and you don't really know what is going on. So usually for me, I realize, well, something's wrong. I mean, I'm not stupid, so stupid that I don't know that. So what I did was I just went into a conference room and I was just trying to meditate. That was even hard, so I couldn't even do that. So I just was, you know, trying to pray and in tongues and whatever. And then I could kind of focus a little bit. And then I started, this verse came to mind, Isaiah 26:3. And so anyway, this is the background. I don't know about your week. That was my week. So anyway, I'm going to read it again. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. So trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. So there's a few parts here. That's why I said keep it open. I mean, it would even be best if we had... Oh, great. Okay. So there's a few parts here. There's mind, then there's steadfast and trust in you, and then there's perfect peace and rock. So essentially, God says he will give us perfect peace based on what? What conditions? He says he will give us perfect peace if we are steadfast and if we trust in him. And then the final piece is that there's a rock, okay? So, and first, of course, the mind. It starts with the mind. So anyway, keep those things in mind. Mind, steadfast, trust in you, and then perfect peace and rock. So first, so we want that perfect peace, right? So how do we get that perfect peace? Let's think about it. Let's break it through. So number one, Isaiah highlights the mind. And if you look at the Strong's definition of the mind, I mean mind, it's like your imagination, your thoughts. It's your natural inclination of thoughts, where they go when you're not thinking about anything. Another word is your character. So essentially, when you're sitting at pause mode at home and you're not necessarily thinking of everything, where do your thoughts necessarily incline to? Where does your character necessarily incline to when you're not maybe thinking about anything at all? And that's what this mind here means. And, you know, so he's highlighting this area, this mind area slash your character, your natural inclination of where your thoughts, it's like of water when it flows down a mountain. Which way does it flow through naturally? This is the battlefield, right? So he's setting the scene, right? This is the battlefield that we're talking about. So, the mind, what I just described. And now we have the main meat, the part that we are responsible for, the active parts that we need to do, the steadfast and trust parts, right? So, the first, the steadfast mind. I actually like the KJV, the King James Version, or the Amplified, the classic version, better because of the sentence construction. Because when you say, the steadfast of mind, it sounds like it's a noun, right? A steadfast of mind. But actually, what that steadfast of mind should be translated to, the ones whose mind is steadfast on you. So it, you know, it helps when we think about it as it's a verb. It's also an active thing. It's not, it's actually those whose minds are steadfast on you. The King James, it says that it's those whose minds are stayed on you. So you're like, just like me, what does that, what does stayed on you mean? Stayed actually means attached to something solid, something trustworthy. Just like, you know how, let's say on a ship, you know how they used to have these smokestacks and stuff because they needed to keep the ballast, they needed to keep the equilibrium. So they would have something called like the smokestack would be in the middle to balance the boat as it was rocking. They would have something heavy right there in the middle. And it's kind of, imagine the same thing. We, those are minds, something heavy in the middle that we are attached to. You know, that's the kind of the visual that we need to think about. So those of us who are steadfast of mind, it means those of us whose mind is perfectly fixed, stayed, firmly attached on the Lord. So does that make sense? It kind of, I think, you know, that word steadfast, it helps when we think it means firmly attached, our mind firmly attached on the Lord. And then it says, because he trusts in you. So, actually, let me read you the AMPC, the Amplified Version. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind is stayed on you. So, whose mind is firmly attached to you, because he commits himself to you, he leans on you, and he hopes confidently in you. So trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Hopefully, does that make a little bit more sense? So number one, sorry, I'm repeating it, but I mean, it took me so long to really get this. So I think maybe, I'm sure you're smarter than I am, but that's why I keep on repeating it. So it means, again, the steadfast means, though you will keep him in perfect and constant peace, those whose mind, which is, again, as I said, the inclination, your natural character, is stayed, focused, firmly attached on you. Okay? Does that make sense? So that's part number one. That's what steadfast of mind means, actually. And then two, because he trusts in you. So what does this trust part mean? Because he trusts in you. These days, we use words so casually, right? I think maybe it's because we type so fast. We think, oh, we can produce words so well, fast. You know, back in the day when you actually had to write things, you'd be like, wow, for me to write this word, it actually takes me more time. So I'm going to think about what I'm writing. Now we just like spit, I mean, and autocorrect and whatever. So we don't even really think about what we're writing. But what does trust in you mean, right? So I pulled up a dictionary, different things, blah, blah, blah. So a few components of trust. And, you know, we say, hey, man, I got your back. I trust you. We say it so easily. But what does it mean to really say you trust in him? Number one, it means that you commit to someone. You commit. Again, pulling up a dictionary, it means you agree to do something important, And it also means you decide to have a permanent relationship with someone. Like, for example, it was the first time in his life that he had committed himself to a woman, right? You choose, you decide, I'm going to enter into a permanent relationship with someone. Isn't that a great definition? Trust means I am now saying I'm going to enter into a permanent relationship with you. So here it means, hey, when I say I trust in you, God, it means I am now going to say I am entering into a relationship with you, God. I don't think I'm not going to abandon you, and I don't think you're going to abandon me. So I'm going to enter into this relationship with you now. Okay? Number two. It means when you trust in someone, you're saying, I'm going to be leaning on you too. When I need your help, I'm not only going to say I can take care of myself. I need to lean on you. I need your help. Does that make sense? I feel like I'm getting some blank looks. Is this helpful? Okay. You decide, I'm going to lean either this way or I'm going to lean either that way. I'm going to either fall towards God or I'm going to fall towards something else that I used to fill myself up with. When we say I trust in you, God, I'm saying I choose to fall forward into your arms and I'm not going to fall back into whatever it is that I used to fill myself up with. Yeah? I say I need your help. I need you to support me. I trust you. I know that I can rely on you, and I'm deciding to lean on you now, God. Okay, number two. Number three, this is so important. Hope confidently in him. Hope confidently in something. That's what it means to trust. Yeah? I mean, again, it's like this other word that's like totally lost its meaning. Hope. Everybody says they hope in something. I mean, it's like hope, you know. But to trust, to trust means to hope confidently in God. And this is super, 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 super important. Because most of the time, we say, I hope in you, God. But we say, I trust in you, God. But we have no dang expectation for him to come through. I say, I trust in you. Yeah, I know, God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We sing. But yet in our hearts, we're like, you can't really come through. You're not really God. Or in our head we think it, but man, in our heart, that's not where we're living. In our heart, we're still moping. In our heart, we're still thinking, yes, we sing that song, oh, Father, good Father. Yeah, we're singing all these songs. You're a good, good Father, you know, sorry. So we sing, but in our hearts, we're like, yeah, I did it. I sang that song, yeah, but no. I'm done with the hoping thing. And forget about hoping confidently. I'm done with the hoping thing. I can't deal with it. How often are we living out of that place of no hope rather than hoping confidently? And this cuts us off at the knees. Like, you say you trust, but you don't really hope with the expectancy that God is going to come through. Then guess what? You're not ready to. It's going to be hard for him to come through if you're. I mean, he can still, of course. But it is this. Trusting means that you have hope and you have hope confident that he's going to come through. Imagine, you know, it's like always these NBA playoff games these days. It always comes down to the wire, right? It's like, oh, they get a two-pointer. They get a two-pointer. They get a two-pointer. They get a two-pointer. Then somebody gets a three-pointer. Then somebody gets another three-pointer, right? It seems like it comes down to the wire, most of these things, right? Can you imagine if, what was it, the Warriors and... Yeah, those guys. Can you imagine if, like, at the end, LeBron James was the team that was under at the end, right? Okay, they lost. But anyway, can you imagine if at the end they had decided, oh man, it's done. 5 seconds left on the clock. Forget it. That's done. I'm out of here, man. If he had done that, do you think they would have had a chance? No. But how often do we act like there's only 5 seconds left on the clock? It's done. Done and dusted. Ah, forget it. I'm checking out. I don't want to get stuck in the parking lot, so I'm out of here. In our heart attitude, we do that often, even though we read. How many times have you guys seen this verse? I've probably seen it 50 times or 100 times. You know, you put it on like little, you know, you print it out, or you pay, if you have more money, you pay like $100 to get it engraved in wood, and you put it on your desk, and then you never look at it again, right? But what does trust in the Lord mean? It means, number three, you hope confidently in him. You don't think the game is over, because until God says it's over, it's not over. And that essentially means until you're on the other side of heaven, it's not over. And even then, it's probably not over. Yeah? Yes? Okay. So as for me, as I was saying, no peace, couldn't focus at all on my work, just feeling really weird in my heart, unsteady, can't sit still. So I realized something was wrong. But then I reminded myself, you know what Psalm 34 says among very many, many, many other verses? It says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And you know what? God actually has a special place in his heart for the brokenhearted and the crushed in spirit. Crushed, the word here, it's not like, you know, slightly pushed down. Crushed. Crushed. And he has a special heart for these people, right? And also, 1 Peter 5:7, again, many verses that talk about this. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. He cares for you. So cast all your anxiety on him. And Philippians 4:9, my personal favorite, because around the time I became Christian, Gmail came out. And so my Gmail ID has a 449 in it. Philippians, because I wanted to remind myself constantly of this. Philippians 4:9. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace, shalom of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So I reminded myself of these things, these promises, went into one of our small conference rooms, and I just started praying in tongues like crazy. Because, you know, it's like you're getting left, right, getting a hook and getting an uppercut, and you're getting constantly hit. You don't know what you're doing. But then all you do, you just go into a room and you just start praying or whatever, turn on worship. But so that's what I did. I was like, man, I can't even focus. So I went into praying in tongues like crazy, went into a conference room and started pacing around. And then I kept on praying until I could focus, because then I couldn't even break through. And then I could focus a little bit. And then once I could focus, this Isaiah 26:3 came, just that drop. I couldn't even remember the whole thing because my memory is not, so I had to Google it, and then I found it. Then I just kept on meditating and speaking this verse over myself. Yeah? So it started becoming better, not immediately, but then the next day, God, for some reason, there were 2 days when he kept on waking me up at 3:33 a.m. I have absolutely no idea. And then as I was meditating some more, I just started having some more peace. So, amen. So, but I'll continue with that later. But anyway, the final part, you know, so trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. Let's focus on this rock thing, right? Because I realized as I was, so, you know, usually I wake up at like, usually on the days I do CMP, I'll wake up at like 5 a.m. and I pray, Lord, what do you want me to talk about today? And then I realized as I was, and I thought maybe it was this, and then as I was praying about it, I thought about this rock thing. I wasn't really sure why. You know, God in the Bible, they always say rock, 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 rock. Why? Like The Rock? You know, like the, why is it The Rock? I understand rock. It sounds like a boulder. It sounds kind of, it doesn't move. I understand that. But why did they call it a rock? Do you guys know? Did you guys know why? Because I understand. Okay, fine. It doesn't move around. I get that. That makes sense to me. Okay, so he doesn't move. Okay, that part gets me. But still, like, what is this rock thing, you know? And so I just, you know, again, Google, the great research tool of our day. And so there's two Hebrew words with this meaning. Sela is rooted in the word. So there's Sela, and then there's another one, Zur. So, sorry, I'm messing it up, the pronunciation. Sela and Zur, supposedly. So the first one, Sela, is rooted in the words for a fissure or split. So essentially, there's a picture of God as a rock of refuge and a hiding place that provides security. And so I didn't realize this, but in the Israel of the day, the safest places where you would build a fortress was on a mountaintop. Because, you know, so when the Israelites were fighting, like you remember in the days of Saul and David, like David would hide himself in the rocks. He would go into the mountain and hide himself in the little caves. Or, like, you know, you would have a mountaintop fortress, like Jerusalem, right? Jerusalem is built on a mountaintop. That's what he's talking about. So try to visualize that. It means either I'm hiding myself. It's like the rock that I can hide myself in the crevices and hide from the enemy. And he's going to protect me from those arrows that, let's say, the Philistines were shooting at me. But guess what? If I hide behind the rock in the crevices and the fissures, those arrows can't hit me, can they? Instead, they hit the rock, but they don't hit me because I'm hiding in the crevices and the fissures of the rock. So that's one. And the other thing is, if there's a huge-ass mountain fortress, well, there's no way they're going to get to me, right? So imagine, that's the visualization that these guys were talking about. When they said, God is my rock, that's where the God is my fortress comes from. You know, in those hymns, God is my fortress. And it, this is what they were talking about. And the other word, Zur, is, it means massive, very safe, virtually impenetrable. Endurance, reliable. So again, what I said, like this big rock that just doesn't move, kind of impenetrable. That's sort of that definition as well. This is for Isaiah's time, right? So we have God, the Lord, an everlasting rock. Someone that we can hide in the crevices of God. And those slings and arrows and whatever these things come, it might be, you know, it might be T8 outside, but in here it's nice and toasty. And we're, you know, doing some marshmallow thing here, you know. It's very safe. Or let's say you're in a mountaintop fortress. They try to scale, but you're like, you laugh and you're like, ha ha, you can't get up here, right? Unless you're like David and you go through the sewer system and you, anyway, so that's how he got into Jerusalem, right? Anyway, so yes, you get that image? Now, let's think about this. Now, Isaiah, when he was writing this, he didn't really have the full revelation. I mean, he did, but he only had it in part, right? He didn't have the full revelation of what this everlasting rock was talking about. We do, right? In the Bible, in the New Testament, where like Peter, everybody, they all talk about, we have an everlasting rock. That everlasting rock is Jesus. Right? Back in the day, they didn't have Emmanuel. They didn't realize the God with us. For them, God was that far off cloud that I can't really get into. But now, we have Jesus Christ, right? Emmanuel, God with us, that we can deal, that we can rest in. And it's not like I might necessarily need to go to Mount Horeb or Sinai or whatever and hide in the crevices there. We can ask him to come and we can hide in the crevices right now, in the bosom of Jesus. We can ask him right now to come and be our rock because he is our rock. Yes? Amen? So, conclusion. So I took a step back and I started focusing. Actually, even this morning, there was this investment thing really was bugging me. So as I was trying to write this message, I woke up and this missed opportunity really was in the forefront of my mind, and I didn't have peace. And you know what I did? I just closed my eyes, and I said, okay, this is either maybe an attack, just a distraction because I'm supposed to share this message, or number two, you're really trying to highlight this passage saying you really should share about this, or number three, you got some issues you still need to deal with, Jungmin, and just humble yourself before me and let's work through this. The sooner the better. I still don't know which one, but I prayed, Lord, if there is something in my heart that I need to deal with, then I humble myself before you and deal with it, please. You know, Lord, just, you know, test my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, you know, and lead me in the way everlasting. So that's what we should do. But anyway, so I took a step back, did this, prayed. So just about all those things that I started off with, right? The missed opportunity. And I realized once I took a step back and I started getting out of my whole moping, stupid way of thinking about these things, what in the world am I talking about? If God did supernaturally lead me to something, and if I did whatever of my own idiot, whatever, I missed it, what am I worried about? First of all, there really was a God who told me about something to do. I mean, at the right time, he's gonna tell me again. If he wanted to, and by the way, the important thing is, please think about this, this is so important. Usually, God, you know, will bless us, but I'm already blessed enough. It's not like I need, you know, I'm okay, you know, it's not like I need that next, like, $10 to live on, right? So if God's blessing me, and I think most of us here, because we're not going hungry, if God's blessing me, please get out of that stupid thinking. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. Please get out of that wrong thinking where you think that blessing was for me. Because that's not necessarily correct. Okay? And I mean yes, it's correct he wants to bless you, but you're part of a community. You're part of this body of Christ. There's some reason he wanted me to have that blessing, not just because I could see the numbers in my account go up. It's because he wants to do something through me, through that blessing. Yeah, we need to really get our mind fixed. Because so often we end with the whole, he was going to bless me. Man, I missed out on that blessing. Oh, mope, I'm going to mope. Oh, I'm never going to. He's like, I can't believe I missed it out, blah, blah, blah. No, if he was going to speak to me, you know, even with my, you know, slow brain and my whatever, not being able to hear him, he still wants to accomplish what it is he wanted to accomplish. He's going to figure out a way to speak to this thick skull of mine and tell me next time, do it, and there's something I want you to do through it. That blessing is not only for you. It's not like so you can retire. No, it's because there's something I plan through you to do something. And my plan has not changed just because you didn't hear me. Yeah? So what the heck am I thinking? What am I worried about? First of all, I should stop being so self-centered that I missed on it and then I'm done with, you know, he's never going to bless me again. And number two, it wasn't just for me anyway, and God's plan didn't change. Whatever he wanted to do through me, he's going to figure out a way to do it through me anyway. So I don't need to worry about this. That is the right thinking. Does that make sense? Okay. So with these wrong thoughts, you know what we often do? We roll them around in our tongue like a fine wine. We're like, let me taste this wrong thought this way. And then let's say tomorrow, let me taste it this way. Or like the next day, let me taste it this way. We roll around these wrong thoughts. Oh, let me taste this aspect of this wrong thought today. Yes, I'm gonna mold this in my mind today. We need to stop doing that. Instead, we need to start tasting God's word, rolling it around in our tongue, in our hearts, in our minds, and being like absorbing every little tannin chemical particle in it of this word, and really rolling it around and tasting the different aspects, fully absorbing it. Yeah? Okay. So the flooding thing, honestly, I don't really fully know what's going to happen with the flooding thing, but praise God, the telecom equipment looks like it's okay. So praise God. So we had spent all this money. We had fixed this flooding thing last year. And, you know, now it flooded again. That's terrible. But, honestly, fine. It flooded. So, thankfully, it's not like, you know, it's not like that flooding is going to now destroy the property. And it will never be able to have any value again. And it's not like the flooding means that the fixing cost will like make me bankrupt, right? I still have the property. Yes, it flooded, but we'll figure it out, you know? And the tenant who said he was going to sue? I mean, you know, we'll figure it out. I don't think he's going to sue. Why would he sue? I mean, it's not up to him to sue. I mean, he can't sue, but why would he waste his money? We'll reach a negotiation. And of course, he's a tenant. And I should be praying for his blessing. I should be praying that he does well. And if he has lost something, then I should not, instead of trying to like be like negotiate, I should be like, man, I totally understand. I am so sorry. Tell you what, I want to fully reimburse you for everything. And you know what? My God is going to refill as I honor him as a good landlord. Instead of trying to fight tooth and nail with him, saying, oh, come on, man, don't try, and nickel and dime him, I'm going to be like, I'm so sorry. I totally understand. You know what? I really want to continue to pray. I'm so sorry. I haven't been praying for the blessing of your business, but you are under my roof, and I want to pray for your blessing. So I'm going to do that. And I really apologize for not doing that. But, you know, I'm sorry I couldn't go there because I'm not here. My mom was in the hospital that day. But, yeah, I'm really sorry. And by the way, here. And you know what? God's going to fill me up anyway. Yeah? And the other thing. So my mom, she had to do this vocal cord surgery. Now, so she was so anxious about this thing. And it was like, oh my gosh, I can't. And I had to handheld her, and it was very draining. And honestly, I didn't think it was that big a deal. But okay, she's going under general anesthesia, and she was very worried and like super worried, like irrationally worried, I thought. But anyway, you can't tell that to someone. That's like, you know, that's a sure way to have it blow up in your face, telling them you're irrational. Not a good way to counsel someone. But So, you know, I really thought the main of it was she really just needed to rest her voice, and also she needed to get rid of this anxiety and get at peace. And so I don't know what happened, but yesterday she went to the hospital, and supposedly she went to another hospital, and those doctors can't find the issue anymore. What the heck? So either it's supernaturally healed, amen, and that's the assumption I think we're going under, or... either way, my mom, I guess she's blessed because she's like, yeah, maybe I was so worried for... Now she's like in this mode of, yeah, I don't know why I was so worried. So I don't know exactly what happened, but praise God, you know, we received that she was supernaturally healed. But anyway, we decided not to go ahead with the surgery. And to be honest, at this point, she probably was not ready to do the surgery anyway. And then also, I'm also going on this, there's a Kyoto mission trip next week, and there was a lot of mission prep needed to do and all this. And so, again, that was stressing me out. But again, why is there a need to be stressed out? God's going to take care of it. So, when we look back, do I wish all these things had happened? Not necessarily. But, you know what? I know this sounds so dang weird, and I'm not trying to be like any like, I'm not trying to say anything. I'm just saying, deep in my heart, I'm somewhat glad it happened. I mean, not to my mom with the whole, but, you know, the flood and, you know, stuff. Well, even with my mom, because maybe she needs to deal with something. But I'm glad it happened. Because, you know what? Number one, it really made me cry out hard to God. And it really led me to really study this thing. Isaiah 26:3-4. And, you know what? It stress tested my relationship with God. It stress tested my heart and what I really believe and what I'm really thinking and who I am. Because if I didn't go through this and the pressure didn't come, then I wouldn't know in the building where the cracks are, huh? You know how you stress test concrete? You put it under a hard press and you see where the cracks happen under what pressure. If this had not happened, I would not know that maybe I have some issues with this whole efficiency thing, and I have some issues about regretting too much about past things and all this stuff. And I would have come to this conclusion that I just shared with you for the last 5 minutes or 10, I don't know. So anyway, yeah? So only through the stress testing will you know what areas of your thought life in your heart are you not aligned with the truth. So anyway, look, that's my story. So maybe let's have a time of prayer and just meditation. Let's just ask God to come and speak to us. Lord, we just thank you for... we thank you for your word. We thank you for Isaiah 26:3-4. Lord, where you say, those whose minds are firmly attached to me, I will keep. Give them perfect peace. Because you guys who are firmly attached to me always, trust me. You commit yourself to me. You say that you need to lean on me. Essentially, you're humbling yourself before me, saying you can't do it on your own anymore. You're saying, I need your help, God. And you guys who decide to trust in me, you keep on fighting and you continue to fight and hope confidently that I'm going to come through. And you know what, sons and daughters, that's so awesome. I so appreciate your courage, your tenacity, that you continue and you continue to commit yourself to me, humble yourself before me and say you need my help and you lean on me, and you continue to hope confidently in me. And I thank you. I thank you, sons and daughters, for continuing to trust in me. And you know what? When you do that, I'm going to come into your life and I'm going to show you what a big God I am. I'm going to show you that you can hide in my fissures and in my, in my canyons. And you're going to show you how immovable I am. I'm going to show you what kind of mountain fortress I am. So Lord, we thank you, God, even in these two verses, which we hear so often, yet there is so much to taste. There is so much to really dwell upon and meditate on, Lord. So for those of us here, and even me right now, and for those who are listening on the internet, Holy Spirit, will you grace us with your presence? This doesn't matter like how many words I speak, Lord, but Holy Spirit, will you come right now? We say we need to lean on you, God. Open up our hearts. Like, help us to make room for you in our hearts. Open up our hearts, Lord. Expand our hearts. Expand our hearts, Lord, right now. Open up the doors of our heart, Lord. Yes, Lord, I just feel like right now, just stay in this mode. I just see I just feel like maybe the Lord, for some of you, maybe it's been a while since the door has been opening. You think it's been open, but it hasn't been. Don't move away. Don't shut off the MP3 player now and say, I'm done. Don't let some distraction get you away, but just go into a room right now. Allow the Holy Spirit to open up your heart even more right now, the doors. I just think the doors are opening. And for those of you who've in the past, you feel like you've been hurt by God or there's been unanswered prayer, like some of that baggage in your heart, essentially. Imagine a room, the doors are open, but to get God in there, you need to get the existing boxes out. Whatever's inside that's not of God first, that's filling up that space, you need to get it out. Maybe it's disappointment. Actually, maybe it's just busyness. But I thought of disappointment that prevents you from trusting in God. I did that once. Man, didn't work. You know what? I just want to say to those people, just like me right now, there's some things that have not seen full resolution. But I can tell you, we are not there yet. What I mean that is, it's not the end of the game. It might be 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 1 half left until the game over. I'm telling you, it's not done. Don't call it done when it's not done. The game is not done. Yeah? Remember part 3 of trusting. Hope confidently in Him. So I encourage you, Holy Spirit, right now, whoever again needs this, just I ask right now that you would pour out your love, a deeper revelation of your love right now. I pray, would you pour out your presence? Would you strengthen those who need strengthening right now? Those so that they can hope again in you. Hope confidently in you. Confidently in you that you are a good Father. That you are to be trusted. And even those, God, who think that they actually do trust you, they don't really because of these past disappointments. And they've kind of just put a Band-Aid on it. But Lord, I pray that you would release more freedom so that they can trust you in a deeper way. Because the game is not done, son. Game is not done. Don't think I've abandoned you. Don't think that's the conclusion. It's not done. Not done until you see my face in heaven. Thank you, Lord, that even right now, you know, the feeble arms and the legs of our faith You are strengthening them right now, Lord. Those things that the enemy has tried to cut the knees off of our faith, Lord, you are strengthening them right now. You're strengthening our faith, Lord. To repeat, to trust means to commit yourself to Him. Say that you are entering a permanent relationship with Him. It's to lean on Him. It's to say that I need you, God. I cannot do it on my own strength. I humble myself before you and I say that I need you. And it's to hope confidently in Him. It's not done, son. It's not done. Yes, Lord, just help us to meditate on these things, God. You know, I want to share with you, I have a beautiful, lovely, wonderful younger sister. But after my dad passed away about 14 years ago, she was actually Christian, I was not, but she totally turned away from the Lord. There was so much hurt. She would hear Christian radio in a taxi, and she would tell the taxi driver, turn off that thing. Or she would just like, stop the car, I want to get out. Like, I was told that story by my mom. It was that bad. There was a lot of hurt, a lot of bitterness. And it's because she expected more. And also, the relationship with the family was such that I would see my mom in Korea more often than my sister, who lives 30 minutes away. So I would call her, and she would not pick up the phone. She was just really in a bad place, you know? And obviously, my mom especially would contend in prayer for her. 14 years, she contended in prayer for her. 15 years, actually, she contended in prayer. And, you know, obviously, I was praying too. And it's a long story. I won't go into everything. But just supernaturally, I had a dream one day, and I felt like I was supposed to call, share the dream. Sister just starts really bawling. And we had like a 5-hour conversation that night. And just because I had a dream and my dad was in the dream and I thought I was supposed to call my sister, and I just shared that dream. And ever since then, that was like just a few months ago, we talk like every other date now. And my sister goes down to see my mom, and she's been, look, so, and she's like on fire for the Lord. I mean, so this is just 3 months ago. 15 dang long years. But man, now she's like more on fire than I am. My mom is like, what happened? She comes down every weekend. She's so nice. She's so loving. And she, like, she's telling me, like, she's actually teaching me about saying, Mom, where's your faith? You know, why are you so worried? 15 years. You know, in 2000, can I tell you? In 2002, they didn't have iPhones. They didn't have iPods, I think. You know, I'm just trying to put it in context. 15 years is a long, long time. Apple stock price was like probably a tenth of what it was now, right? Right after the NASDAQ crash. I'm just saying, it was a long time ago. Just suddenly. And now, you know, I don't know what happened. But God just did something in her heart and it was healed, and she bawled and bawled and bawled and bawled and bawled, and God did something and done. I don't know if it's for Pil One here or someone listening. If you are still listening, I just want you to know things happen. Do not give up. Yeah? So again, hopefully that was okay. I'll have to ask my sister permission for sharing that, but I felt like I was supposed to share that. Anyway, so Lord, I think, yeah, I feel like maybe for people who are listening and for people here, if you're inclined, maybe today we'll skip the prayer part, because I feel like maybe it's, please stay in this mode, potentially, if it's for you. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you, God, because you are our rock, and you have sent the everlasting rock, the living stone, God, for us, that we can rely on, that we can stand on, we can hide ourselves in and be protected. Help us to trust in you. Help us to say every day, I commit myself to you, God. I say I need you, God. I lean on you. And I'm going to hope confidently in you, God, with expectancy. So, Lord, I pray that as we trust, will you shine through us? Will you shine through us, God, so that we can shine Jesus' love in Hong Kong? We can shine Jesus' love in all across Asia where you have planted us, because you did not pour out your love just for us. I mean, you did, but you want to arise and shine through us, God. Yeah, so we lift up the spheres of influence that you have planted us in, Lord. Help us as we walk in trust that will allow you to shine through us where you have planted us. So, Lord, we thank you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.